14. Robert Mueller. Robert Mueller describes himself as a Catholic and considers himself a good one. One indeed, Mueller claims credit for 3 visits by 2 popes to the UN and the Assisi meetings of the Pope with religious leaders, which I proposed to the mayor of Assisi. 2. However, Mueller's many writings are a veritable anti-catechism. Heterodox theology and cosmology, like his New Age colleagues, Mueller redefines the story of mankind's fall, as vividly described in the story of the Tree of Knowledge, having decided to become like God through knowledge and our attempt to understand the heavens and the earth. We have also become masters in deciding between good and bad. Every invention of ours can be used for good or bad all along the above Copernican tapestry of our knowledge. 3. Mueller has declared his belief in Hindu astrophysics, 4. And in the Hindu concepts of karma, 5. Prana, the vital, 6. And reincarnation. 7. In his recent book Paradise Earth, Mueller expressed these views in a poem that he wrote on July 4, 2003. I decide not to die, not even to think of death, to live forever in God's and Mother Earth's marvelous paradise in the endless eternal universe. Yes, I want to live eternally. I have lived before in other forms. I am part of a vast, eternal, gigantic living entity. When I am buried, I will live again in other life forms, and my soul will continue to be part of the incredible cosmic meaning and transformation of creation. I will simply never die. To die is even more incomprehensible than to live. Thank you, dear Father God, Mother Earth, and Uncle Sun for this revelation this morning. You talked to me and showed me the most wonderful, mysterious, incredible future. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Mueller extols the linguistics and philosophy of the indigenous people, especially the remarkable cosmologies of the Mayas, Sikh, Aztecs, Incas, Sikh, and others. There should be a global spiritual department to study the indigenous spiritualities and rituals derived from their intimate relation with nature and creation. 2. Mueller does not acknowledge that the spiritualities and rituals of the Mayans, the Aztecs, and the Incas incorporated human sacrifice. The Mayans also believe that natural disasters help to reduce the population when necessary. The ancient Maya in Central America believed that earthquakes were the gods' way of thinning out the population of humans when they became too numerous. 3. In my testament to the UN, Mueller said, the tremendous spiritual, cosmic forces remain largely unemployed because very few people turn to them, pray to them. For Jesus was one of many great emissaries of the universe who brought us messages from outer space. 5. Echoing theosophist author Alice Bailey, he says that meditators become aware of the outlines and later the details of the hierarchical plan. 6. In 1998, Mueller wrote, it is becoming clear to me, dear God, that you cannot save us. It is us who must save ourselves, your miraculous nature and you, its creator. 7. God cannot save us, but the UN might. Mueller said in a 1995 interview with World Goodwill, a theosophist newsletter issued by the Lucas Trust, that he considers the UN to be one of the greatest institutions ever created by humans, a true meta-organism for the evolution of the human species and of the planet. In it converge all aspirations, dreams, differences, problems perceived by humans. The UN is humanity's incipient global brain, and it is part of its global nervous system. We still need a global heart, and we still need a global soul, namely our consciousness and fusion with the entire universe and stream of time. 1. Mueller's beliefs about Christ are not in line with traditional Christian teaching. He believes Jesus would say, no human being on earth, not even I in heaven, am infallible, given all the killings and sufferings which were committed in my name. 2. After the second coming of Christ, Mueller believes that Christ will leave again, telling us, I will now make my peace with you and let you establish a perfect earth. Farewell, my grown-up children. At long last, you are on the right path. You have brought heaven down to earth and found your proper place in the universe. I will now leave you for a long journey, for I have to turn my sight to other troubled and unfinished celestial bodies. I now pronounce you planet of God. 3. Mueller asserts that the world's major religions in the end all want the same thing. What the world needs today is a convergence of the different religions in the search for and definition of the cosmic or divine laws which ought to regulate our behavior on this planet. Worldwide spiritual ecumenism, expressed in new forms of religious cooperation and institutions, would probably be closest to the heart of the resurrected Christ. For his Christ thus agreed with Alice Bailey, who wrote in 1947 that the study of comparative religion has demonstrated that the foundational truths in every faith are identical. 5. With heterodox theology, Muller also offers dissenting ideas on morality and Catholic Church discipline. To foster a world spiritual renaissance, I recommend that all religions should allow their clergies, male and female, to be married in order to increase the number of spiritual families and children raised in such families. 6. Muller had said previously, I have seen so many small village communities in Costa Rica with deserted churches and parish houses due to the shortage of priests, that I begged His Holiness in 2 letters to allow Catholic sisters to officiate Mass and religious ceremonies, and to be the spiritual counselors of the people in these villages who need it so much. I had asked Costa Rican sisters if they would be ready to do it, and they said that they would do it enthusiastically, but my appeals to the Pope have remained unanswered. Building a new world order and establishing proper earth government. The implosion of the Soviet Empire did not dampen Muller's enthusiasm for world government and socialism. Muller knows that the idea of world government has an unsavory odor for many people. Therefore, he advises, since world government has been downgraded by a systematic campaign of extreme right parties claiming that it would lead to dictatorship, I recommend to use the words proper earth government. 1. He promises, we are on the threshold of an extraordinary, mind-boggling, new age of our human progress and evolution on planet Earth if we do not stick to obsolete beliefs, values, systems, institutions, and laws. 2. Muller has written, we must learn to adjust our individual and group interests to the supreme interests, survival, and apotheosis of the human race. 3. As individualism goes, so will go capitalism. Historically, it will be the privilege of capitalism to destroy the earth in the 21st century unless government reestablishes its preeminent role and function for the people's and the earth's fate. For Muller favors using the European Union as the basis for a world union, unless the UN is rapidly transformed into an effective world political union and administration. 5. Then, since Russia reaches into the north of Asia, the old dream of Eurasia can be implemented. The plan of Robert Schuman, who dreamt of integrating the African countries into Eurafrica, can be implemented. In the meantime, the U.S. can organize the Americas from Alaska to the Tierra del Fuego, and the two unions can be integrated into a world union. 6. This ought to be interesting news for Latin Americans and Africans who cherish their independence. European Union leaders are now thinking along similar lines. In an October 2001 speech to the College of Europe, Belgian Prime Minister Guy Verhofstadt said, we now need a new world order more than ever before. A world order in which American leadership will of course remain a key element, if only because it will remain the only country with a global military force until such time as Europe develops a defense capability of its own. But the other continents, and especially Europe, must make a major contribution to building this new world order, too. They must take greater responsibility and make a greater commitment. We could order the world on the basis of existing regional cooperation organizations, the European Union, ASEAN, Mercosur, NAFTA, the African Union, the Arab League and SAARC and Southern Asia. 7. In this context, we should also include countries like China, Russia and Japan, and the whole of Oceania. We need to take a first step down the path towards a global form of federalism, a structure where the reality of an increasingly interactive world is finally made a political reality too. In fact, a structure of this kind was already planned when the United Nations was created in 1945, but was never implemented after the Cold War. The new world order could lead to a new G8, G9, or G10, with regular meetings between the delegates of the world's continents. We need a global political vision, a political counterweight capable of reigning in uncontrolled forces, be they market forces or ideological forces. The European Union is the model which shows this is possible. What I have tried to do today is to prove that the European Union is the most generous political project on our continent, a project that can be held up as an example for a new world order that will truly begin to close the gap between rich and poor. Now, as we stand on the threshold of the 21st century, I find it hard to imagine a greater political ambition. To all of you who are preparing for a European career, I say that I hope, one day, we will achieve this goal together. Muller recently wrote, in all caps, no less, The United Nations must be vastly strengthened to resolve the major global problems henceforth increasingly confronting humanity and the Earth. It must be empowered to adopt and enforce world laws and regulations. Point one, such world laws and regulations would be intrusive, indeed. Mueller's ideas for the world government would include worldwide prohibition of alcoholic beverages. As for smoking, it should urgently be prohibited worldwide. Two, no more sodas, either. My opposition to soft drinks was also because they contain carbon dioxide, which we do not want to have in the air, but which we let enter into our body. In September 1999, when spending a week at an Optimum Health Center in San Diego, California, I learned that soft drinks leave health-damaging traces of toxic carbon dioxide on the walls of our intestines. I go therefore one step further and recommend that all carbonated so-called soft drinks should be prohibited by the UN, World Health Organization, and all governments in the world. Point three, in Mueller's New World Order, there would be a standard world identity card for all, for centralized police and military forces under the control of the Ministry of Peace. 5. The same term that Orwell used in 1984 for Big Brother's military force. 6. A global secret service. 7. World penal legislation. 8. A global property record similar to what the young French revolutionaries did for France. 9. A world sustainable consumption commission. 10. A world taxation system. 11. An income records for everyone on the planet. 12. And a comprehensive world database. Global data and optimum design agency where all data on our planet, on its environment, and on humanity would be accessible. American cities would be totally redesigned. The ideal U.S. city of tomorrow, a big, concentrated round center with all the supermarkets and shopping centers conceivable, public services, health services, doctor's offices, schools, and funeral homes around which dwellings and apartments are built concentrically in which people live who are stockholders of the totality. Regarding academic freedom, Mueller says, all university students on the planet should be required to take basic courses in planetary, cosmic, and evolutionary consciousness, in ecology or earth science, and on the United Nations. If this platform sounds like world communism, Mueller says that might not be altogether bad. We should ask an honest man like Mikhail Gorbachev to tell us what was good in certain cases in communism and which would be useful for humanity. Not everything is totally bad in any system. Even Hitler did something worthwhile, still existent today, when he asked for the building of the Volkswagen, the cheap, economic car for ordinary, low-income people. 1. The historian William Shire describes the Volkswagen as a particular swindle perpetrated by Hitler on the German workers. 2. Hitler set the Volkswagen's price at 990 marks, and the workers were to pay for their car on the installment plan before it was produced or delivered to them. Shire said, "Alas for the worker. Not a single car was ever turned out for any customer during the Third Reich. Tens of millions of marks were paid in by the German wage earners, not a pfennig of which was ever to be refunded. By the time the war started, the Volkswagen factory turned to the manufacture of goods more useful to the army." 3. Mueller says that both nationalisms and big, multinational corporations must be dismantled and replaced by something else. It has to come from an outside force. A people's revolution or a revolution of the scientists, thinkers, visionaries, prophets, globalists, futurologists, and synthesizers of this planet. For he said, as in the case of the French Revolution, it is youth which must start that revolution. I will be happy to give them advice. But it is up to them, as the most advanced units of human evolution, to enter into action. 5. Mueller's revolutionary ideal does not include human equality as the West has understood it. He says, "I have more and more admiration for Hindu political science, which observes that human societies are managed by a caste system. The kings or central government, the military, the merchants, and the priests. The ordinary citizens are the lowest, servant caste, while there are alliances between the higher, ruling castes." 6. Robert Mueller also thinks that we may become extinct. The Earth will take revenge against her most advanced species, which has begun to destroy her. She will retaliate with lack of oxygen, ultraviolet rays, lack of water, mounting cancers, the breakdown of the immune system of the human body, etc. God will not allow us to destroy His creation and to put an end to the Earth's careful, miraculous evolution over billions of years. He is more likely to let humanity be destroyed. 7. In any event, Mueller believes that liberty, as it has been understood in the past, is obsolete. Since the Earth and nature have become a major preoccupation of humanity, it is imperative to reconsider notions such as liberty, which was correct in an earlier period but no longer is. For example, the concept of free enterprise and full business freedom can now lead to substantial destructions, sic of the Earth, of its natural resources and elements on which we live. This should become a major subject for debate in the United Nations. What was a justified moral concept yesterday may be today unethical and immoral. He adds, within 10 years, governments will enforce laws requiring people to consume less. It will finally be realized that what is happening on this planet is a global, world war against nature. Governments don't want to recognize it today because they continue to believe in the illusion of endless economic growth, enrichment, and power. But they will remember that during the First and Second World War, people were asked to reduce their consumption because of the war effort. It will be the same situation once they recognize that there is an all-out, possibly terminal war against the Earth. Point one, in his newest book, Paradise Earth, Muller quotes Machiavelli to set the theme for his chapter on the absolute, urgent need for proper Earth government. As Muller quotes from The Prince and other discourses, there is nothing more difficult to take in hand, more perilous to conduct, or more uncertain in its success than to take the lead in the introduction of a new order of things. 2. That aphorism has a context, which Muller did not quote. The Italian political philosopher said, and it ought to be remembered that there is nothing more difficult to take in hand, more perilous to conduct, or more uncertain in its success, than to take the lead in the introduction of a new order of things. Because the innovator has for enemies all those who have done well under the old conditions, and lukewarm defenders in those who may do well under the new. This coolness arises partly from fear of the opponents, who have the laws on their side, and partly from the incredulity of men, who do not readily believe in new things until they have had a long experience of them. Thus it happens that whenever those who are hostile have the opportunity to attack, they do it like partisans, whilst the others defend lukewarmly, in such wise that the prince is endangered along with them. It is necessary, therefore, to inquire whether these innovators can rely on themselves or have to depend on others. That is to say, whether, to consummate their enterprise, have they to use prayers or can they use force? In the first instance, they always succeed badly and never compass anything. But when they can rely on themselves and use force, then they are rarely endangered. Hence it is that all armed prophets have conquered and the unarmed ones have been destroyed. Besides the reasons mentioned, the nature of the people is variable. And whilst it is easy to persuade them, it is difficult to fix them in that persuasion. And thus it is necessary to take such measures that, when they believe no longer, it may be possible to make them believe by force. Point three, such would be the reality of a new world order, however idealistic its present-day propagandists. It could only be installed and maintained by force and armed prophets. The fate of opponents, a special corral of the universe. Muller loves humanity in general, but says, my only true friends in life were those who shared the same passion and concern for the world, for humanity, and for the United Nations. I was never able to cultivate any other real friendships. For Muller says that all those who hold contrary beliefs to those favored in the next phase of evolution will disappear. 5. He predicts a hellish destiny for those who balk at political and spiritual globalization. Those who criticize the UN are anti-evolutionary, blind, self-serving people. Their souls will be parked in a special corral of the universe for having been retarding forces, true aberrations in the evolution and ascent of humanity. Muller hails Ted Turner, saying thank you, dear Ted, for his billion-dollar pledge to the UN. Point one, Muller says that Gorbachev and Turner are the only two persons on Earth who have a worldwide visibility and a deep faith in their destiny, which is to change the course of this planet and avoid its destruction. 2. The former UN official also has an abundance of self-esteem. He says that the Hopi Indians named him Kogi Undeo, spider boy with the task of making a big spider web to catch all evil in the world and then throw it far away into the universe. 3. He says, future history is likely to prove that Mr. Gorbachev and I were correct world diagnosticians and prophets. For he adds, if I should ever be proclaimed a saint by the Catholic religion or by the United Religions Organization, I would like to be named or known as St. Robert of Mount Razor. 5. Muller wrote in the late 1990s that one of his dreams was that I will be appointed the Servant General of the World People's Assembly in 2000, and that the Governmental UN General Assembly 2000. will honor me with the title Servant General Emeritus or Wise Elder of the United Nations. 6. Muller's dreams continue to expand. Recently he has written, "My dream is to be the creator of the world union and be remembered as the father of the world." Muller's theosophical connections. Robert Muller's connections with the theosophical movement are of long standing. Muller wrote the World Core Curriculum, now being taught in 43 Robert Muller schools around the world. 8. He thinks that this curriculum should be taught in all schools of Earth. 9. And that it could serve as a basic framework for a world employment policy, to be promoted by the UN's International Labour Organization. 10. In 1989, Muller won the UNESCO Prize for Peace Education for his work on this curriculum. 11. These schools drew praise in 2002 from former President Carter, Rosalind, and IR. Pleased to congratulate you on receiving the Nuclear Age Peace Foundation's 2002 World Citizenship Award. Your schools and books emphasize the increasing importance of global education. 12. Gloria Crook, director of the Robert Muller School in Arlington, Texas, said in 1997 that the World Core Curriculum is well accepted, but more so abroad than in the U.S. She noted that there is wide objection in the U.S. to any curriculum with a religious sense. 13. Muller says that the religious sense of his curriculum is Mayan, the World Core Curriculum, which I derived from my experience in the United Nations, is almost identical to the Mayan cosmology. The current manual for the World Core Curriculum says, "The underlying philosophy upon which the Robert Muller School is based will be found in the teachings set forth in the books of Alice A. A. Bailey by the Tibetan teacher Jwal Khol, published by Lucas Publishing Company, and the teachings of Morya as given in the Agni Yoga Series books. 1. What the curriculum does for children, the media should do for adults." Muller says, "It is the media who are informing us and should educate us about the major, very rapid changes which are taking place in the world. But the media do not recognize that they should be educators. They are simply communicators. Well, they should be the educators of our adult lives until death." This is why I have also couched the World Core Curriculum into a framework for world media coverage, which I would like to see taught in all schools of journalism and hung on the walls of all media directors in the world, as a basis of their media coverage and programming. 2. For many years, Muller has associated with two different branches of the theosophical movement. One of these is Share International, a group that believes that Maitreya, the world teacher, is about to return. 3. In March 1982, Share International printed one of Muller's articles, "The Future of the United Nations." Muller gave Share his permission to post the article on its website in 1998. For Muller was interviewed in 1993 by Monty Leach for the same journal. 5. In the May 1999 issue included a reprint of a Muller lecture. 6. The organization interviewed Muller again in the summer of 2003. 7. The second group of theosophists that Muller cooperates with is the Lucas Trust. Muller spoke about the reappearance of Christ in August 1979 to students at the Arcane School, which is run by the Lucas Trust. 8. He reprinted this essay in his cornerstone book, New Genesis, Shaping a Global Spirituality. 9. Muller published 7 articles between 1979 and 1984 in The Beacon, 10 which the Lucas Trust describes as a magazine of esoteric philosophy presenting the principles of the ageless wisdom as a contemporary way of life. 11. A website that promotes Muller's works offers a biography of him. At the top of the webpage, there is a quotation from 2 of Alice Bailey's books, Education in the New Age, and the externalization of the hierarchy. 1. Dale McKechnie, a vice president of the Lucas Trust, said in 1998, "Robert Muller apparently has been influenced by Alice Bailey's works. He did speak at some of our conferences. We have been a great supporter of his work. We've tried to support him in the United Nations and his current work at the Peace University in Costa Rica." 2. The theosophists claim Muller as one of their own.